This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation!
Give me a golf course.
70 courses!
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding!
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching!
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga!
How about a garden tour?
Balboa Park!
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
We want you to come over. We want you to experience. We want you to tell stories and have more people come over. Come on down. You like what you see? You like what you do? Stay.
Hello and welcome to Savor. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we're saying farewell to New Orleans. Kind of. I mean, you'll still be hearing some bonus content of the next few weeks because we interviewed so many lovely people. And
yes,
we would like to share those interviews in their entirety.
Yes, yes. They're lightly edited entirety.
Well, yes.
But yeah, our mini-series, alas, is coming to an end. So we're going to do a proper send-off, a roundup, if you will.
Yes, just in case listening to whole interviews is not your thing, we're going to share some of this great material that we got that, in true New Orleans fashion, didn't necessarily fit neatly into any one category that we've talked about so far.
Yeah, we really ran the gambit. We got some science. Some entertainment. Ghosts. We had to have ghosts.
A lot of ghosts.
Yes. Yeah, so we thought we'd share some of that with you, starting with something we ran into a lot, which is this connection between food and entertainment, particularly music, along with hospitality and performative culture. Because as we mentioned in our overview of New Orleans episode, New Orleans is kind of a big tourist town.
Yeah, you might have heard that about it.
Maybe recently with Mardi Gras, maybe.
Something, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it is something that locals lean into. They're excited to share their culture. The quote that you heard from the top was Isaac Toops over at Toops Meadery and Toops Meadery South. It is a performance, but it's a performance that people there deeply believe in and do want to share with people. Elizabeth Pierce, the New Orleans drink historian and founder of Drink and Learn, spoke to this.
How you do a thing that is an integral part of your culture, and you know what it means in here, and you do it for people who say, that's pretty, and it means nothing. It's like, no, and you give like this little, that we have second lines here. So many wedding second lines. And all these people are going around, and they don't know how to dance, because they're self-conscious. Because they're like, I'm in a parade and everyone is staring and maybe I should dance, I don't know. And that is not how second lines happen in other neighborhoods. But do I feel like no second lines unless you are a real New Orleanian? No, pay the musicians, pay the cops. Everybody's broke. Yeah. You know, musicians are often broke and so is our police force. You know, like, It'd be great if the wedding planner who's like putting this together could say, hey, this is what this means. This is the origin of this thing that you're doing. But I've also kind of come to a place of peace with this, because do you know why we feed each other cake at a wedding? Why the bride and the groom feed each other? No! And we all do it. It's so you'll have sweet words in your mouth. You start your marriage with sweetness in your mouth. So you have sweet words, right? We just do these things. And it's like, oh, that sounds good. I want a parade.
Yes, the people of New Orleans are eager to share their culture, but they are also extremely protective of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's what was behind the Disney gumbo kerfuffle we mentioned.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Pepper Bowen, New Orleans food and water attorney, put it this way.
If you don't use it, you lose it. And to be very crass about the whole situation, if you allow your culture to dissipate because you think something else is more interesting, then it really leaves the door open for someone else to come in and to tell you what it is.
One part of that culture that we were curious about was music and how food and music, and particularly jazz, of course, interact in the city. Here's Dickie Brennan, whose family collectively owns and operates 13 restaurants in New Orleans.
I mean, we always say cooking with jazz. I mean, you know, our seasonings here, I mean, we use a blend of seasonings, you know, and it's to really enhance the flavors, take something, makes it blossom. So, I mean, it's like making music. It's definitely a great correlation between making music and making food. I mean, it's, you know, in a city like New Orleans, it's incredibly creative. I mean, my God, we created jazz. Prior to jazz, you had old world music, but I played a certain way. I mean, what happened in New Orleans, look how it's changed the world.
Liz Williams of the Southern Food and Beverage Museum in New Orleans and Bryson Downham, beverage director at Toop's Restaurants, echoed the sentiment.
I think that musicians in this town cook. At the end of November, there's actually a conference in town that's all about improvisation, and they cover music, food, writing, theater, all sorts of things. And so they talk about how the city is full of improvisation and that people seem quite willing to do that. So to say that there's a connection between food and music, not only that, there's a connection between all of the arts, I think, in this town, and all kinds of cultural things. But, you know, our musicians are often out there grilling something that they're going to serve while they're playing later, you know, and that kind of thing. And magazines that are about music always have recipes of some musicians in that particular issue or whatever. So there's definitely an understanding that these things are connected. But and I think that there's a transmission of the music and of food also, which is similar, so that as people mix to make music together, they're also transmitting their ideas about food and all that kind of thing in the same way. So I think all of that is related.
The bar food culture is still alive. You know, there are plenty of places you can go early evening to get a drink, a little spread of food, complimentary, cooked by either the musicians that are performing that night or the bartenders or owners, or sometimes just regulars. And you go and you listen to music and you eat and you come together. So the musicians definitely, the food and drink and music all comes together.
It's hard to overstate how much of a part of the culture it is there, as opposed to, I mean, nowhere else that I've ever been has just the number of restaurants with house bands that are playing, and it adds an air of festivity everywhere that you go. We spoke with historian Eric Seifert over at the Historic New Orleans Collection about this music scene in New Orleans.
Man, I mean, if you go on, look up what shows are playing on a Wednesday night in this city, which is of less than 400,000 people, you won't, I mean, the number of shows is astounding. Multiple shows at one venue in a night on a Wednesday night, there's probably 40 different listings. It's not even including all the music. I just don't know that there's another place that has so much. And then if you look at how New Orleans has impacted American music. You talk about, like I've said, developing jazz. You talk about our role in the development of rock and roll.
Since we love some good wordplay, if you haven't been able to discern that, one thing Eric told us before we move on, you've heard of Louis Armstrong, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And if you haven't, get on that, listeners. But in the meantime.
In the meantime.
Louis Armstrong is famous for signing off all his letters, Red Beans and Ricely Yours, Louis Armstrong, which is, you know, it's cheesy, but it's, you know, you read his letters, they're all kind of in that mode. They're very jovial, or I don't even know if that's the right word, but yeah, Red Beans and Ricely Yours.
Something else we wanted to touch on that I think gets lost a lot when people think about food is the science involved. Every time you make a souffle, you are conducting a science experiment. Lord knows I am.
Oh, very experimental there.
Exactly.
No, the science of food is one of our favorite things to talk about on this show because, oh, it's weird and wonderful. Several of our interviewees came from a science background and were drawn to food specifically because of the science and technology involved. Take Ashley McMillan, the executive pastry chef at New Orleans dessert boutique, Sucre.
I was a biology major, but also a chemistry major, so I think that's what attracted me more to sweets than anything else. I have been in the savory field. I actually have experience in both. My career split. It's just with pastries, it's more tedious, and I enjoy that. The payoff's bigger for me.
And we aren't the only ones who think the science gets lost. Rocket scientist and barbecue pitmaster Dr. Howard Conyers agrees.
Like, we were talking about grinding grits. Nobody would think there's a friction factor, a friction in making grits, or heat dissipation, or viscosity. We're thinking about barbecue sauces, or thinking about thermodynamics with using a pit versus a Cajun microwave or a cappuccino or something. Like, so there's a lot of science and technology involved in the cooking process. And I have learned that when I was going to some of these restaurants and they start using the induction burners,
yeah.
I'm like, that's really fascinating to me as a person of a science. I wouldn't be a rocket scientist without growing on the farm because I've seen the real applications of science and technology and engineering and mathematics on the farm. For instance, let me give you an example. We were trying to put up this barn, and as an engineer, you have like cables, and you're trying to use cables to help pull something up and support things temporarily until you get it mounted securely. And we use a lot of engineering principles to help get that, I guess you would say, that beam in place. Seeing things like that early on, or understanding about fertilizers, you're seeing like fertilizers, they say, oh, what is a 10-10-10? I'm like, what is that? Then I get in a science class when they talk about nitrogen or phosphorus and potassium, but people on the farm might say it was called soda or liquid soda and or ammonia, but that's all it was.
Also, Howard engineered a barbecue pit large enough for an entire cow.
Like whole cow barbecue, like whole hog barbecue, although with a cow.
He engineered it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the entire interview forthcoming soon, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
Fascinating. But in the meantime, to the non-science part of our episode, ghosts. But first, a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel. Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com. Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks. But I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a saver team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you. And we're back with ghosts. As you listeners probably know, we love ghost stories here on Saver. There isn't a place much better for a good ghost story than New Orleans.
Certainly not in the United States. They've got that old thing kind of on lock.
Yes, they do. We spoke about our love of ghost stories in studio when we got back. We like to tell ghost stories, and we told a bunch on the way back from Asheville. And every ghost story we started with, well, I don't believe in ghosts, but and I find that a lot of people we asked would say something similar, mm-hmm. like, well, I don't believe in ghosts, but here are five ghost stories.
Also, since we're on mic and we're recording TM, 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 I don't believe in ghosts, but because that's a great property that we will probably develop one day for this network.
Yeah.
So I make sure that we trademark that.
Yes. Yes. You're right. We definitely should. Don't steal that, listeners. We are trusting you.
We are. If you're thinking, what does this have to do with food? Isn't this a food show? Why, yes. And yes. But ghosts come in restaurants and sometimes even inhabit food items themselves.
I know. I was there, but still.
You heard one of these stories from Katie Kasparian, one of the proprietors of our Nose restaurant in our King Cake and Mardi Gras episode. But that was just one of the, three stories that she shared?
Yes, three.
Oh, here she is. Here she is.
Here's the thing about the ghosts. So I'm not, I'm not like a huge believer in all of it, but I, or as my brother says, I don't want to be proven wrong, and I agree with that. I have felt some weird things myself, personally, some like a brush of cold air in an otherwise not cold space, where that you have that hair-raising kind of, that's definitely happened. Certainly people have said that they sighted something. We have a couple of stories that we always go to that people have shared. Story number one, we still, we do an inventory. We do it every month, like most restaurants do. And this was the inventory on New Year's Eve, and it happened at the time that our accountant was coming to just do some, like, spot checking. And he's an accountant, so he has no sense of humor, and he's very straight-laced, and he's just very accountant-like. And he swears, and he's still an accountant, and he's also a family friend. And he swears that he was actually in the other bar, the Richelieu bar, and there was something that, like, a glass on the table that, on the bar top, rather, that resembled, you know, something. It was like a brown spirit, so it kind of looked like a Sazerac or, you know, whatever it was, something. And it was sort of half full. And he was, you know, spot checking some counts. And 30 minutes later, he looks back and he says he was the only one in there. And the whole thing, like, all of the spirit is gone. So the glass is totally empty. And he had that same, like, hair raising, I'm getting out of here situation. That's story number one. That's always a go-to.
She shared story number two in that Mardi Gras episode.
At the end, because we do post-credits.
Yeah, so if you didn't hear it, then you've got some homework.
We call it Marvel post-credit scene. It's for hip.
That's exactly what we are. Mm-hmm. But yes, here's the third.
Story number three is that there's a party, and this was just a couple of years ago. They were having cocktails in one space and then moving on to another space to have a seated dinner. And I was downstairs, and the captain of the party came down, and this would be an odd thing for him to come and, like, seek me out. So he was, he looked kind of like a little frazzled. He's like, we have a guest who's very upset. So of course, I'm like, okay, well, what's the problem? That they've taken a picture, and it was still digital camera. So this was long ago, but not that long ago, right? So it wasn't on an iPhone, but, you know, where digital cameras were still a thing. And so they've taken a picture, you know, like as you all would, the three of you. I would take a picture of you all, just like a candid kind of photo. So she goes back and she looks at the photo, and there's a bust of, so just a bust next to them. And it looks like almost like an old waiter. So it's a tuxedo. Like, you can tell that it's kind of a tuxedo, but you can't see any waist down. And he looks like, you know, I don't know, 1920s-ish looking, but like a bust and faint, but you can see it. You can make it out. And so this woman is like freaking out, wants to leave kind of situation. And I just, you know, we just had to calm her down and just say, it's friendly, don't worry. But I saw it, too. It was amazing. It was amazing. So stuff like that. They're here, I'm sure. But they're nice. Nobody's died from them or anything.
Our next tale comes from Christopher Horner, general manager at the Bombay Club, a cocktail lounge in the heart of the French Quarter. And this ghost has a pamphlet.
About her in the restaurant.
Yes.
If you go there, you can, pick one up for yourself.
Y'all have a ghost here.
Yes, we do.
Could you tell us about the ghost?
Wow, yeah, I can. The booth right behind you, well, it's actually two behind you, is where she hangs out. Uh-huh. It's a woman, and she is supposed to be a former madam, and because this area of town at one time entertained those folks, and she is supposed to be very protective of women, and I think she's I think they call it a passive ghost. She's not mean or anything like that, unless you have a gentleman who is being rude to a lady, and there's been stories where drinks have fallen on the guys and that type of thing. I think we've all had points where we thought we saw her. Yeah, I saw her walking through here one day in a blue dress. I'll never forget it.
Blue dress.
And I was the only one here.
Oh, wow.
We got little stories here that we've had and we've seen. And the candle on the table was blown out, and all the table candles were blown out, and you came out here, and that candle was lit again, you know, for some reason. You know, just those little things like that. This whole city has got so many great haunted stories and everything. That's why cemetery tours are so much fun here. I was standing right over there. by the bar. And when we're talking to the bartenders, the employees are talking to the bartenders, the other employees walking behind you will always put their hand on you just to let you know they're behind you because they got a tray or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And one day I had that hand put on me and kind of pushed a little bit. So I pushed forward so they can get by. Turn around, there's no one there at all. There's no one. And it's so funny because it came from right from that booth. I felt it. It came right from that booth.
Kind of that's so like that. Wild.
I know, it's crazy stuff. We've had a number of those little incidents like that.
Oh, that's so great. I'm just genuinely delighted by that.
Sophie's her name, by the way.
Sophie.
I neglected to mention that.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, yeah. No. Yeah. Make sure she gets proper due.
Right.
Don't want to make Sophie angry at all.
Nope. Because we don't believe in ghosts, but why take the risk?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we went on one of those cemetery tours of St. Louis number 1, the final resting place of Marie Laveau and Nicolas Cage. If he ever dies.
If he ever dies. It's part of the part and parcel, yes. One thing that we do want to make clear here in the middle of this, our ghost story segment, is that, like we do love this kind of thing, but we are food podcast professionals, semi-professionals. Like we didn't go into every interview going like, hey, y'all, tell us your ghost stories. You're in New Orleans. The ghost stories came to us.
They did.
And we only started asking the question after one of our interviewees surprised us with one in the middle of the interview. Amy Sins, the chef and owner of Langlois, which is a food entertainment company, presented us with a ghost during the interview. We spoke a little bit about it in the studio with Dylan when we got back.
She produced the spaghetti ghost.
That's one of my favorite parts of any interview we've ever done.
Yeah. She just comes out, puts on the table in front of us spaghetti inside like a Tupperware.
Yeah. And this is, I mean, she stops the interview. She goes, oh, hold on. Let me get something. I'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
And she produces this packaged spaghetti. And by spaghetti, I mean, you know, just like a pack of noodles.
Yep. Still in the package.
Dry noodles in the package. And yeah, inside this Tupperware. And it has this painter's tape on the Tupperware.
Yeah.
That says, oh, goodness, let me find my picture. So I don't misquote the Tupperware.
We don't want to misquote. The spaghetti ghost.
Never misquote the Tupperware.
Mm-mm.
He travels. I don't want to get on his bad side.
No, that's right.
It says, we heart Mr. Ferrara. And then the second piece of tape says, cheers to our good luck ghost, and has a smiley face.
So we had questions, as you probably do.
She answered all of them.
She did. She had quite the story. I mean, I'd never imagined we would have a spaghetti ghost come up in an interview. I never predicted it. And yet.
And, I mean, from there on out, it was just like, well, we have to ask everyone about ghosts. What have we been missing out on?
Exactly.
See? Professionals.
But okay. Let's get to the story of Mr. Ferrara.
From Amy Sins.
I'm distracted by the spaghetti ghost. Could you...
So I will be more than happy to introduce you to him.
Please.
So the building that we're in is from 1850. And whenever I was renovating it, I felt like there was a ghost here. Like to the point that I would come in and say, good morning. Because if you have a ghost, you want it to like you.
Exactly. Yeah. Be polite. Yeah.
I mean, the last thing you want to do is upset the ghost that you have to spend every day with at work.
I mean, you're in its house.
So I did an Ancestry.com search on the building and pulled all the census records, and I had a list of all the names of the people who lived here. And I had a lady who came over for brunch, and she said, guess what? I'm president of the New Orleans Paranormal Society. If you give me the keys to your building and you agree to not be there, I'll do a hunt. And my husband is always like, Amy, you're crazy. Like, have you lost your mind? You just gave your keys to strangers. I'm like, oh, it's not a stranger. We had brunch. It's fine, you know, and they're probably my cousin somewhere deep down the line of Louisiana. So I said, if it's not here, don't invite it. If it's not nice, don't want to know about it. And then here's the list of names. And she called me at like 2:30 in the morning and said, we talked to Mr. Ferrara. I'm like, oh my God. So they had an audio recording, clear as day. You hear her say, is that you, Mr. Ferrara? And he's like, what? And he's like, you know, talking, but you can't really hear like what he's saying because she's asking questions. So turns out he ran an illegal gambling ring out of the building. Uh-huh. And there was a law in New Orleans that you could not sell alcohol to women. And he was arrested for that. So every time I open a bottle of wine in the building, I say cheers to Mr. Ferrara. And for about 6 months, my mom was ill and I took 6 months off. So I wasn't here. And because New Orleans is full of crazy people, I got a text message from a lady who is, I affectionately call crazy, because everyone else would just say that we're crazy. But she sent me a text and she said, you need to go to your building. Your spirit is sad. He doesn't know where you've been and why you left. And I'm like, oh my God, tell the building to get in line. I have emails, I have phone calls. So the next morning I came to talk to the building and I said, Mr. Ferrari, you have three choices. You can go to the light, you can stay here, or jokingly, I had a pack of New Orleans made luxury macaroni, which is the Sicilian brand spaghetti. And I said, or you can jump in this pack of spaghetti and you can just come with me everywhere I go and hang out. And so I go home with a pack of spaghetti and I tell my husband and he's like, you've lost your mind. You're nuts. He's like, you talked to a ghost. You told it to jump in spaghetti and you brought the spaghetti to our house. And I was like, yes. So I started bringing the spaghetti with me everywhere to events, cooking classes, things all over town. I had never told the lady what I did. Uh-huh. I didn't want her to know that I embraced that level. About a month later, she sent me a message that said, Mr. Ferrara is having so much fun traveling and meeting new people. And I'm like, oh my God, he lives in the spaghetti. So this is Mr. Ferrara. He lives in the spaghetti. My husband bought him a protective plastic case.
That's probably good.
So that nothing would happen. And so I bring him and my clients get to meet him. And just recently I went to a conference in Portland and my chefs were like, you should bring him on a road trip. So I threw him in my suitcase. And when I got to the hotel, he had been inspected by TSA. So I'm sure he has lots of stories about his travels, but unfortunately I have not been able to hear them.
Oh, well, it's so good to meet you, Mr. Ferrara.
As far as ghost stories go, and I have heard my fair share.
You are a connoisseur, yes.
I am. That is a pretty good one.
Oh, I love it. It's one of my favorite things that has ever happened during an interview.
Me too.
Highlight of my professional career. I'm not even joking. I love it. Okay, but we do have some more non-ghost related things for you. But first, we have one more quick break for a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel. Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone. Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico. We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada.
But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks. But I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a saver team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
We, or rather our interviewees, have a few parting thoughts before we close out here. One aspect of Saver's whole thesis, what we're all about, is how food and drink brings people together. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, I couldn't have asked for a better city to exemplify that than New Orleans. And that's not saying such a city doesn't exist.
Oh, sure.
Or at least one that can compete with New Orleans doesn't
Absolutely.
Exist. But New Orleans would be hard to beat. The generational restaurants, the community events and festivals, festivals upon festivals, the neighborhoods, food is communal and shared in a way I personally rarely have ever experienced in my small town or now in my big city. Here's Bryson and Isaac again.
Everyone in New Orleans, I think, is a socialite, and we all care about each other and care about the community. And, you know, we're not so insular as, like, familial groups. Like, whole blocks will get together and support each other as families and friends. And I just haven't seen that really in many of the other places that I've lived. You know, people, neighborhoods mean something here. They really do. That's, the pill plays a big role.
And we don't have family reunions, we make reservations.
That's right.
Whether it's restaurants or just entire neighborhood blocks, food is a huge part of this sense of community. More than one person we talked to brought up crawfish boils, you know, the big social activity with food and drink at the center.
I love a good crawfish boil.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I am awful at eating crawfish.
I always injure myself.
I do, too. There will be blood, I say. One of our interviewees described it as kind of a race. Or take this description from Isaac.
Imagine this. You're in your shorts. You have a beer can in your hand. You have a hat. You're boiling 60 pounds of crawfish in a big, giant pot. There's children running around. There's uncles telling jokes. There's women gossiping. There's naughty games being played. I'm sorry, they're inappropriately dangerous games being played. Lies told, probably some music playing. It's a gathering of people, and I think that's what New Orleans and South Louisiana embraces a lot. Community gathering, having a good time, having a drink, cutting up a little bit, and not taking yourselves too seriously.
On one of the first Lyft rides we took into the French Quarter, the Lyft driver pulled up next to someone, and I thought there was about to be, like, an altercation.
Yeah, because the way that he rolled down the window, and he was like, hey.
Hey.
But then.
But what he said was, why aren't you at the restaurant? How's the new opening going? Like, everyone we spoke to had food recommendations.
Oh, yeah.
And they were almost all different, which was a wonderful problem we had to tackle. 5 days, all these recommendations, where do we eat? Amy spoke to this.
Yeah, food is our life. It is pretty much all we talk about. And the one thing that you have in common with everybody you meet, because everybody has to eat. So you can always find common ground whether you agree on anything or not. You can agree that you have to eat. And so growing up in South Louisiana, everything revolved around food. Every special occasion, every Sunday dinner. And it was all about bringing people to the table, friends, family, and eating.
I can relate so much.
Oh, yeah.
I spend an embarrassing amount of my time thinking about food, and not just because I work on this podcast.
A lot of people do. I mean, especially in cities that are blessed with amazing food scenes like New Orleans. And a part of it has to do with a thread that's been throughout these episodes, these dishes that are now celebrated that rose out of necessity and community.
Here's Pepper again.
And we've always been a city that, for better or for worse, that we are all about talking about food, just like a little while ago. Okay? You can stop anybody and you can have a long conversation about food. We talk about what you're eating for dinner, over lunch. We talk about where you got it, the best that you've ever had of the same thing while you're eating it, because that's just, it's very much a part of who we are. So I think that honestly, that sense of community came from not having. And when you don't have and I don't have, we pull together and we can make stone soup.
And that community and the role food plays in bringing us together and starting conversations is important to all of us. According to Howard, you can see that really play out in the South.
Even though no matter how divided the South was, in terms of food, like, people will cross over. You will find instances where food would bring people together. I think that's something I think is unique about the South. Well, food brings people together everywhere, but the South with its dark history of slavery, food has the ability to bring people together to have a conversation. And hopefully those conversations will help to make the South better, make it more one unit. It helps people understand people's differences as also their similarities.
We'll leave the closing quote to Amy.
And there's something about this city that just embraces you. And when you embrace it back, you can't leave. And I tell people from out of town, if this is your third visit, I have a guy, because you're probably looking for real estate because New Orleans has called you. And there's something about the total dysfunction of this city that is charming, and you just can't get away from it.
So we come to the conclusion of our New Orleans miniseries. Or kind of, because again, lots of bonus content forthcoming. Hopefully we'll make it back one day because there are so many topics left to uncover.
And so many things that we didn't get to eat.
So many people we didn't get to talk to.
Oh, goodness, yeah. That oyster guy.
The one that got away. But in the meantime, you can contact us via email at hello@saverpod.com. Tell us where we should go next.
Yeah.
We're deciding as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
The power is at your fingertips.
You can also find us on social media. We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at SaverPod. We do hope to hear from you. Thank you so much to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard, our executive producer, Christopher Hasiotis, and all of our wonderful interviewees. Also, thank you to the people who put us in touch with those folks. Wesley Jansen, Sandy Gomez, Lauren Knoll, Lauren Bush Singer, and Annabelle Mendez. Thank you to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.
I believe. But it's also where Nicolas Cage's future resting places.
If he ever dies.
If he ever dies.
If he ever dies. My favorite part of this, so it's a big pyramid, right? My favorite part is, according to this tour, he was inspired during National Treasure.
And IRS took two of his houses, but they couldn't take the tomb. So it's still legally his, and it's covered in kisses.
They'll have to pry it from his cold, dead hands.
Oh, my goodness.
Have to pry it from my cold, dead hands.
We had a lot of ideas for Nick Cage movies, like replacing Obi-Wan with Nicolas Cage. Yes. Somebody do that.
Please.
I mean, the opportunities are endless. And
yeah, he was walking around all week going, Qui-Gon!
We had a lot of great ideas.
We did. Nicolas Cage, if you're listening, I mean, you can have these for free.
Yeah, yeah. This is our gift to you for giving us so many gifts.
You have. You have indeed.
Yeah.
He used to own the Madame LaLaurie house, which is one of the most haunted buildings in New Orleans. And it is American Horror Story number 3, season 3. One of the seasons.
Yeah.
The one with Kathy Bates. But yes, the IRS came and took that from him. I can't remember. There was a really funny joke set up to that, but I don't remember what it is. It was like what higher power came in and took Nicolas Cage's houses. The IRS did.
The IRS.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel. Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone. Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico is home to a thriving culinary scene based on products and traditions from the native Taino, African, and Spanish peoples that have influenced it.
When you go, there are a host of restaurants, bars, breweries, distilleries, farms, and coffee houses to dig into, from five-star experiences to local favorites.
No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com, that's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.